And you watched the rugby yesterday afternoon, the Scotland rugby game, no doubt quite a few of you. I've been up until late last night in Kincraig near Aviemore. There's been a group of 18 guys from the church have been on a weekend retreat. What a fantastic weekend we've had together. Anyway, late on Saturday afternoon, we watched the rugby together. Now, I have to say, I have not the slightest interest in rugby. I'm a football guy through and through. My school never heard of rugby. We played football, and that's the way it always was. And so, I don't follow rugby. It's as simple as that. But since all the guys were watching the rugby yesterday, I feigned interest and tried to cheer on Scotland the best I could. Anyway, as became clear, we lost the game. Here's something I like about rugby. Well, two things I like about rugby as opposed to football. In rugby, the players take the decisions that the referees make without question. Do you notice that? The referee says it's a foul, they just back off, and that's it. In football, well, they harangue the referee, they're around them and trying to change his mind. Morons, we say, of those football players. Here's the other thing I like about rugby. The referees wear microphones like this one. So, as the game's going on, they can actually explain why they made a certain decision. How many football games have been at through the years when a decision's been made by the referee and the whole crowd is saying, "What? Why? Why did you give that foul? That was a penalty, referee." But the referee has no microphone and you don't get to know what he's on about. Yesterday, I was watching perhaps more attentively, and I noticed that from time to time in the game, the referee told the scrum half, notice I'm not ignorant completely of the game, I'm just not interested, he told the scrum half a certain thing. If there was a ruck or a maul and a scrum, and the ball had come near to the back, the scrum half would put his hands on the ball and wait for a moment to see how the play was going to develop. But if he waited too long, then the referee would shout out to him, "Use it!" And if you watch the rugby, you'll hear them shout that, the referees, "Use it!" And what it means is the scrum half can't wait indefinitely just holding the ball where it is. He's got to pick it up and pass it or kick it. He's got to do something with it. He has got to use it. Folks, in the same way, we believe that Jesus gives us the gift of His Holy Spirit. Those who believe in Jesus are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But, as we said last week, and as we emphasize again today, you've got to use it. Otherwise, it lies there wasting. And if that scrum half, to go back to that example, if he doesn't use it, the ball's given to the other team. So we are gifted with the Holy Spirit, but we have got to use the Spirit. And when a person is full of the Holy Spirit, then their life is changed. The way they live becomes different. Again, as a reminder of last week, we ask, well, how would you know? How would you know if a person is indeed full of God's Holy Spirit? The answer is that the evidence is there to see. You know, I know if a fruit tree is healthy, because I can look and see, is it producing a crop of fruit? If it's not, then cut it down and dispose of it. It's dead. It's become diseased or something like that. But if there is fruit on the tree, then I know that the tree is in good shape. In the same way, if I see these qualities flowing out and very evident in the life of a person, then I know that person has the Holy Spirit of God filling them. I know You could say that this is kind of, oh, this is religious talk. What's that got to do with my life? It's got everything to do with your life. Look, it's about how you go about your day. What kind of person are you? That's what it's about. Are you the kind of person in whom there is love? Is joy evident when you are among other people? Is there patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness? And is there a gentleness about you? And are you self-controlled? You see, it's about the way you live your life. And when we see these qualities in abundance, then we can say, yes, there's the evidence. That's all we need to know. In that person is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, we all can be. We all can be gifted and filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that was really last week we were speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. These things there are the fruit of the Spirit. But the New Testament also talks about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. And that's primarily what we're going to think about today. The gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. These are distinct from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What do we know? What can we say about the gifts of the Spirit? I've got five things, easy therefore to remember. Number one, as it says here in this verse, there are different kinds of gifts. Different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Do you know what we do now for the Sunday Club Christmas party? We give all the children the same thing. We give them a selection box. Do you know why we're doing that now? Because previously, they would tear off the wrapping paper, see what they had got, and then immediately, what would they do after that? See what the other one's got. We give them all the same thing. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is not that way. There is a whole range of gifts. To some will be given one, and to others will be given something different. So there are different gifts. Number two, one gift is not better than the other. Paul, the great apostle, talks about the human body. He's got a wonderful passage. He talks about how we are made. And effectively, he's saying this, there's not one bit of the body that is more important than the other bits. You couldn't say, for example, well, the heart is less important than the brain. Goodness me, take out the heart and you've no life. In the same way, the brain is crucial. Or think about the features on our faces. Are you going to tell me that, well, I would rather have four eyes and no ears, or I wish I had three mouths and no nose? Of course not. We need all of the parts of the body. And no part of the body, no one part, is more important than the other parts. This is Paul's message. This is the way he goes about teaching it. And his point is that those gifts that we're talking about this morning, that the Holy Spirit gives, and we'll detail a few in a wee moment, none of them is more important than the other. Lesson number two. Number three. None of these gifts are given for our own satisfaction or selfish interest. Rather, the Spirit gives us gifts that we can use, I love this phrase, for the common good. For the common good. In other words, for all. When you are given a gift, it's not to keep for yourself, it's to use and to share, to encourage and to build up other people. If you think of spiritual gifts as something for your own benefit, then you are missing the point. So, quick summary of where we are. One, there are different kinds of gifts. Two, no gift is better than another one. And number three, they're not for yourself, they're for the common good. that you can use them to help and support and build up what's going on around you. Number four, we can't choose which gifts we get. This isn't like the Argos catalogue. You flick through and you find what you want. It is God's sovereign power. It's under His decision by the Spirit. It's His will to give you this or that particular gift. He sees the bigger picture. He knows why He has given you this or that gift. So in other words, there's no room for jealousy. It's not like those children who have just opened up their presents and then immediately see what someone else got and wishes, I wish I had that, rather than what I got. God has given you what God wants you to have by way of gifts. Rejoice in them and enjoy them. That's number four. And the last one, number five. Well, here we're going to spell it out a little more. Some of these spiritual gifts are extraordinary, unusual, but most are not. Most of these spiritual gifts are perfectly ordinary, everyday, and unspectacular. Let's unpack that a little. Here we have in one of Paul's other letters to the Romans, here we have a list of spiritual gifts. Notice what they are. Serving. Teaching. Encouraging. Contributing to the needs of others. Leading. And so on. Folks, these particular gifts are, as I have described them, everyday and ordinary, and what might some describe as unspectacular, but they are gifts from the Spirit all the same. Think about that one of serving. We see that in our church par excellence. We have folks who serve and serve and keep on serving. Folks who are not looking for payment or reward. Folks who just are there and willing to give of themselves. Later today, when we're done here, those who are coming through for soup in the hall, we're going to have a wonderful lunch, but it didn't just appear. There are those who are going to serve us today. Folks like Doris and our kitchen team, who are so faithful in serving. You need to know that is a spiritual gift. Paul describes it as so. Right now, our children are through in the halls. Have we just let them be there on their own to get on with it? Of course not. They have teachers and leaders there with them who are helping them, who are raising them up in the Christian faith. So folks, teaching is too a spiritual gift. Let me tell you about another one. Mrs. Stewart down here, Una Stewart, who just a few weeks ago we celebrated with Una her 90th birthday. It shows you that in this business there's no retirement age. You know what she does? She writes a letter. There's no address on the envelope and there's no name to the recipient of the letter. But what we do with these letters is this. We send them to guys that we know who are in prison. And there's a couple of guys in particular who we know who are in Perth. And they're entirely cut off from their families. Families don't want to know. And these guys get no communication, no phone calls, no birthday cards, no parcels, no nothing. But now they do. And I had it described to me how those guys would always go down to the post bag and see if there was something for them, and there never was. But now there is. Because Una is writing to them, and let me tell you, they are encouraged that at least one person in the world cares. Look, Paul says it is a gift of the Spirit to encourage others. And that particular gift, Mrs. Stewart is exercising in this little ministry that she has. It's unspectacular, it's behind the scenes, but it is essential in our world. These are ordinary gifts. But now and then, gifts that are given are out of the ordinary. Things that you don't ordinarily see in life, or would have great difficulty understanding or explaining. Things that would leave you wondering, what have I just seen? Paul gives us a list of these, just as he gives us a list of these ordinary things. Here are some of them. More of these spiritual gifts. The gift of healing. And I think it is unquestionable that there are some people who have that gift, that by their prayers and their ministry are able to bring about healing in some people's lives. To another, the gift of miraculous powers. Well, Paul doesn't explain exactly what he means, but you can better believe it. He's talking about things that you won't see ordinarily. Prophecy. Prophecy is that ability to see really what God is doing in the world and what's coming. And then this one, this gift of speaking in strange kinds of tongues, as we call it within Christian circles, just that, speaking in tongues. Now, if you'd never seen that or never experienced it and then you saw it, you would be probably taken aback and you would wonder, what the heck was that? These are unusual gifts and often beyond our immediate understanding. But here's the thing. These, let me call them extraordinary or special gifts, are not more important than the ordinary everyday ones. The encouraging, the serving, the teaching, and so on. They are unusual also in that they are not given to all Christians. All Christians might see the fruit growing in them, but not all Christians receive these, what I'm calling, special or out of the ordinary spiritual gifts. Last week I was sharing with you some of the teaching on this by this particular Bible teacher, John Stott. And he talks very clearly on this whole subject. Talking about these unusual spiritual gifts, he says this, that they are not general or common, but rather unusual and exceptional, and that some people will have them but not others, and certainly not the most. In other words, folks, the vast majority of Christians will not have the gift of healing or the gift of prophesying. And the vast majority of Christians will not speak in strange tongues as they're described. It is much more likely that most Christians, however, will serve or teach or encourage those what John Stott describes as the ordinary and the unspectacular. Now, there's more of this to come in the coming weeks, but I finish up today with this really important bit. Those who have experienced these out of the ordinary spiritual gifts, these strange ones that defy some of our understanding. Here's what John Stott encourages to you. Don't stereotype everyone or expect that everyone will experience what you have, that's very unlikely. Don't imagine that what the Spirit has given to you, He's going to give to everybody. He won't. But here also is some advice for those who have not experienced any of the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. Here's the advice for you. I'm quoting him at some length here. Don't question or deny the validity of the experiences of others because you yourself haven't had them. He goes on to say, of course, we must test the Spirit. Sometimes we need to suspend judgment for a time until we can be sure. But we must be ready to recognize that the Holy Spirit does work in unusual ways in some people. Just because it's not you or me or all of us, don't deny the possibility in other folk. And finally he says this, we must be careful in a church not to quench the Holy Spirit by resolving to contain Him in our safe traditional patterns. Folks, what John Stott is saying is this, and what I heartily agree is this. When the Holy Spirit is let loose, when we are filled by the Spirit, we do not know what might come next. But we should be open and ready for each and every possibility. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we went through there this morning. And the great thing in this church is that we have home groups, and these meet all through the week, giving us a chance to get together in our homes or here at the church to think more about it, to discuss it together and try and work out more of what we need to understand. So those opportunities are through the week, and then we gather again next week and we pick up more of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit works in our lives. For now, for today, let's pray.